listening here on planet Earth, whatever nation, whether it's the USA, the European Union, whether it's Africa, Asia, South America, North America, wherever it is on planet Earth, if you are listening to the Paul McGuire Report now, and if you are listening and watching our prophetic emergency alerts, which are done on video, seen all over the world, and the increasing numbers of people that are listening, viewing, watching, and reading our media content is exponentially exploding because we made the proactive decision to not be stuck in a fragile little eggshell box where the whim of any individual. You know, there are lots of individuals who are drunk with power that don't have all that much power. I meet them all the time. You probably meet them all the time. In fact, I would say that the majority of individuals that are drunk on power and drunk on their position are people that have relatively little power and position. And so when they get to be God for 24 hours or however long it is, they will attempt to equalize the playing field as if they were God. They restructure the planet. They change things. They initiate all kinds of radical transformation as if they were God. But the problem is they end up making everything a whole lot worse. And that's where we are now. So this is the critical thing. Our world, planet Earth, is hurtling at great speed into a completely unique, a completely different kind of future, one that you and I would probably have had great difficulty imagining and conceiving. It's not that we didn't imagine and conceive these futures. We just didn't anticipate the speed and the acceleration by which they would change our world. A classic example of that is the coronavirus. You know, we've all dealt with pandemics of one kind or another. And all of a sudden, we have this coronavirus, which is like a wipeout machine. Not for everybody. There's all kinds of statistical groups, and if you're in those statistical groups, most likely you're going to not suffer any more than somebody who has a cold or a flu, and then you're going to be fine, especially if you're in the young age group categories, and if you're still in healthy age-related categories, you don't smoke, you take fairly good care of yourself by exercising, not putting a whole lot of weight and stuff. You try to infuse your body with all kinds of nutrition that really works. Then most likely, and I'm not playing doctor, you'll overcome the coronavirus. But if you are extremely elderly, if you have had a series of any kind of respiratory and you'd have to read a doctor's report, related functions, those kinds of diseases put you at risk. So if you do catch the coronavirus, it can be a nightmare. But again, without playing doctor, when I do the research on the coronavirus, the thing that concerns me the most, besides the coronavirus is not, as some people would say, an imaginary virus. You know, I really have a problem with that, because when Christians start to talk with such flamboyant idiocy, what they do is they lose their ability to be credible, intelligent, compelling witnesses for Christ in the real world. Because in the real world, not in the evangelical make-believe world, but in the real world, there is a real coronavirus. Now, we can debate upon the origins and the genetics and everything else, but there is a real coronavirus. It spreads very aggressively, but it doesn't necessarily produce a high mortality rate. It doesn't kill a whole lot of people, relatively speaking. Yet, most likely you know a whole lot of people. I know a whole lot of people. And when I say know a lot of people, I either know them firsthand or I know people who know them or they're somehow in my circle of friendships and acquaintances of people I know. And there's a disturbingly high number of people who have had some cruel deaths after contracting the coronavirus. So nobody anticipated that, but it happened, and it's real. Christians have a problem in dealing with reality, and this is a big stumbling block to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to win souls to Christ, we have to give a credible, transparent, Holy Spirit anointed, convincing debate, argument, and discussion for defending the faith. That's the purpose of this ministry, by the way. You asked me, Paul, what's the purpose of your ministry? I just told you. It is to defend the faith in an articulate, logical, rational manner. And why that's so important is because so many people who are communicating the gospel are doing it in an irrational, anti-intellectual, anti-biblical manner. And that doesn't produce lasting change and lasting results. The big problem that the secular culture, that the radical humanist culture has with all these people who claim to be born again Christians, the big beef that they have is that there are very few Christians out there speaking, evangelizing, communicating the gospel in realistic, transparent, contemporary, relevant terms. And they're not doing it in an articulate, scientific manner. And so when the people of planet Earth are scrambling around trying to discern good from evil, trying to discern what is truth, what is falsehood, they have to make their decision on a basis, a whole series of proactive minor decisions. And if the person that is trying to tell you some truth, whether it's a truth regarding the coronavirus, a truth regarding whether or not to wear masks, a truth regarding epidemics, pandemics, diseases, immune systems, and all these things, if somebody is going to step up to the plate and try to convince you of what they claim are facts, you're not supposed just to accept it, all right, in total blindness. You listen to what the person has to say, and then you analyze the content of their message, and you compare and contrast the content of their message with scientific truth, logic, reason, history, medicine, so on and so forth. So when Christians choose to do that, inevitably, those Christians who choose to do that, God then honors their integrity. This is such a critical truth. You and I both want God to honor our integrity. And the way God honors our integrity is he listens to our content, our message, and he observes our life. And if we're not living lives of hypocrisy, but we're living lives of transparent truth, logic, and reason, then and only then can God trust us to be effective apologists and debaters of the faith, evangelists, and people who God can use to change the hearts and minds of mankind. Because with God, that's what it's all the way about. Back, all with God, that's what it's all about. You go back into ancient history, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, starting with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God's commandment and ate of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They activated the law of sin and death. The death force came upon them and their children and grandchildren. And that death force spread genetically in a way far faster than a pandemic. So, one would think that God Almighty, who has unlimited resources, would be able to easily secure, easily get, easily recruit a whole lot of people who are sharp, intelligent, have integrity, are educated or self-educated, and that God would have a lot of people pounding on his door who want to be evangelists and apologists and communicators of the Word of God. You would think people would be standing in line for that. But what happens is this, and I don't want to get into too much of recent history. In the advertising business and in advertising as propaganda, and let's remember that the advertising business, the propaganda business, are interwoven. And most Christians don't understand this, and they need to get up to speed. I really weary. It's not griping. It's not complaining, because I would do what I'm doing no matter what. So I'm not complaining. I'm not griping. I'm simply telling you the truth. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform, to save somebody of their sins, to make them born again, to grant them eternal life. The power of that gospel, it has enormous power to change families, nations, people, entire continents in a very quick manner. But in order for that to happen, the truth of the gospel has to be proclaimed in anointed way and in a factual, logical, rational way. So, we are at a place in time where the voices that are speaking out strongly, logically, intelligently, professionally, the voices that are speaking out aggressively and intelligently to promote atheism, to promote secular humanism, to promote Darwinian evolution, to promote secular humanism and other things, those voices are growing. They receive the benefit of our secularized humanistic educational system. They receive enormous amount of financing and funding from radical secular humanist groups. And those people, if you were to call the radical humanists evangelists, you would have to say, for the most part, the radical humanist evangelists are doing a very bang up job. They're succeeding in their goal of winning people to atheism and humanism and evolutionary theory. Conversely, when you talk about Christianity as a whole in America, there are many, many outstanding exceptions to what I'm saying. But when you look at Christianity as a whole in America, you observe factually that Christianity as a whole in America is not a very effective force to change people's lives and minds. It isn't. So you got to face reality. That's why I wrote my book out of passion. The book was not written to make money. Now there's skeptics out there, and no matter what I tell you, you're going to say it's all about the money. I'm not saying money is not a factor, because if I write a book, and then I edit the book, and I do all the researching and the promotion and marketing, and all the expenses and times that go along with promoting a book, that's a huge effort. But scientists know, learning psychologists know, that the most powerful way of communicating a message, of winning people over to your message and your beliefs, the most powerful methodologies available to us are the distribution of books, the promotion of books, and the reading of books. And there is no other communication modality other than the reading of books. It's only the reading of books that contains this enormous power to renew minds, to transform people's minds, and to bring people into the light and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible, which is the Word of God, is a book. Above all things, scientists have discovered over the last 100 years that it is books, not computer games, not cell phones, not, you know, email, not social media platforms or music or whatever, or entertainment. It is books that are the most powerful forms of transformation and education. And the reason for that is that the normal individual sits down and reads the book. And when they're reading the book, they're utilizing their visual perception. They're reading the book with their eyes. They're often repeating what they read in the book with their mouth. Okay? And they can hear what they're reading and saying with their mouth, they can hear with their ears. They often speak it out loud. They discuss it. They can read it over and over again. So when it comes right down to it, the book as a living contemporary psychology, as a living contemporary psychological modality, it produces the highest level and rate of effectiveness of communicating the gospel other than any other modality on planet Earth. Because it engages all of your senses. You can carry it with you. Read it when you're open. Read it before you're going to sleep. Reread it. Lend it to somebody. The book is, reading one good book is literally the equivalent of taking a college or a university graduate program, taking like two programs at once, because the amount of knowledge and information that will be downloaded into you is just amazing. Now, people who are experts in persuasion, propaganda, promotion, politics, PR, and all that stuff, they already know this stuff. And then the next thing is that going back to the 1920s and the 1930s, when propaganda officially began to take off as a science, Edward Bernays, who was called the father of modern propaganda, Walter Lippitt, the father of modern public relations. These men were the top men in the advertising industry, the top men for political parties, the top men for as being PR men for the presidents. They worked with Hollywood, and they invented the numerous psychological transformational techniques that can be unleashed on the American public, and people all of a sudden get swept into a conversion experience, if you will. They are being evangelized by books primarily and other social media and stuff. But the people who read books are being evangelized in a contemporary manner with biblical truth and the truth of Jesus Christ. And so it is a highly, highly effective modality of communication that every one of us should become familiar with. I remember going to the University of Missouri. So I graduated from high school in Jackson Heights, Queens. And then I was accepted into the University of Missouri, where I majored in the brand new field of psychology called altered states of consciousness. And I majored in the brand new field of filmmaking, which was a very dynamic duo of studies. And I learned a lot in both of those fields. And plus, as I've said many times on this program, the overwhelming percentage of my learning and my education and my development, the overwhelming percentage of transformation, spiritual growth, and knowledge that I have received, the overwhelming percentage did not come from any scholastic curriculum. It didn't come from any class in college or university, or it did not come from any of the more mundane and traditional ways of becoming educated. I, and this is not bragging, this is a fact, I am a highly educated person, highly educated. And I'm not saying it to boast. I am not highly educated because I got 25 different degrees. Oh, yes, I've been awarded degrees. I teach at a PhD doctorate level eschatology, the field of Bible prophecy, at major Christian seminaries and universities. And I have taught in Christian universities and seminaries in all kinds of topics and fields, and spoken at graduation ceremonies, et cetera, et cetera. But the very famous and often great men of God who endorsed me, who believed in me, who publicly acknowledged my gifting and opened doors for me, they knew that Paul McGuire, well, I don't want this to sound like a boasting, but they knew that Paul McGuire, in many cases, depending upon the subject, would so far blow away their other professors who were teaching different subjects that first they couldn't comprehend why. But then some of these men are very brilliant educators, and they recognize that the reason Paul McGuire's education and knowledge was at such a very high level, it's because Paul McGuire did not simply rely on public education to develop him. Paul McGuire prioritized self-education. Paul McGuire prioritized self-development, self-reading, self-research, self-experimentation. And I did that at a very high and disciplined level, because I was hungry, passionate to know the truth. And so, back in the 1920s, 1930s, with Bernay and Walter Lippitt, the father of public relations and the father of modern propaganda, and these birthings of academic pursuits, they all came along at the same time as Sir Aldous Huxley's book Brave New World as H.G. Wells' books on science fiction and the New World Order, as Bertrand Russell's books, he hated Christianity, as so many thinkers and shakers who were part of the British occult elite, both financially, educationally, and spiritually. And these are the things that you can't play around with. These are the things that you have to know and understand. Because you can't know and understand your reality, where we're going as a nation and as people, you can't understand where we're going before it happens. You can't understand any of this until you choose to be self-educated, self-read, self-study, roll up your sleeves, and do exactly what the Bible says, which is that you're to pursue knowledge and wisdom and guidance and education. You're to pursue it with a vengeance, not with passivity. The whole secret to acquiring God's knowledge, God's wisdom, God's truth, knowledge which gives power, the whole secret to that is not pressing the snooze button, going into cruise control, and daydreaming your days as they go by. The secret is that you do what God tells us to do in the Bible. We want to get wisdom, knowledge, stuff like that. You make the choice to aggressively pursue knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and you go after it aggressively, as the Bible says. And you read books by the dozens and dozens, and you attend seminars, and you listen to world experts, and you devour their research. And that will catapult you into realms of knowledge. Knowledge gives you power. And when you're catapulted into realms of knowledge, which gives you power, you become a person of power. You become, by default, a leader. You become a spiritual leader, a cultural leader. And you become one of these rare individuals that is a mover and shaker. You become one of these rare individuals who truly has acquired knowledge and power on a very high level. And you, when any Christian enters into that arena, let's call it the arena of special forces in the kingdom of God, which separates you from ordinary soldiers, you are part of God's special forces. And so you've gone through a much more rigorous discipline, demanding programming, indoctrination, preparation, because the tasks that you are called to perform as a enhanced soldier, as a super soldier, etc., are very high-level performance tasks. And the only way you can execute these victoriously is you have to learn the stuff that people in special ops or the Navy or the Marines or the Texas Rangers or whatever they're learning. And that makes you a person of power and persuasion. And that means God has an opportunity, because you've given him something to work with. God has an opportunity to use you, to select you, to train you, to develop you, to not only be somebody who disciples all nations, but you are trained to be a spiritual warrior at a very high level. The equivalent level would be being special ops or in some other related military department, an equivalent of special ops. And I'm talking about the most cutting-edge special ops that there is, because I've studied this and I talk about it in my books. I'm talking about high-level special ops, and that means the people who successfully master these programs in high-level special ops, they become a dangerous threat to the devil and the powers of darkness, because they're not easily defeated. God doesn't want you to be defeated. So, this is critical. Now, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, this is the book that God has given me a burden about, because it took me about 2 years to write this book. It contains information borrowed from many books I've written on different spectrums, but this book brings it all home. This book is mandatory, essential reading for any Christian leader, any pastor, any wife, any child, whatever. This is mandatory reading. It's not boring. It's not dull. It's not academic. It's not weird and crazy. It's simply a communication of truth to you, where I'm telling you in the form of a roughly 400-page book that's very fast-moving. The title of the book is The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which reminds us of this fundamental truth that right now, at this moment, planet Earth is experiencing the greatest battle that it has ever entered. We're experiencing the greatest battle for the hearts and minds and souls of mankind in the history of the world. So while we're doing these physical dimension activities, and that might be persuasion, by the way, while we're doing these physical dimension activities, we recognize that the real battle that we're engaged in is a spiritual battle, and it's the greatest battle. Why? Because it's taking place in the hearts and minds of mankind, and it makes it the greatest battle in the world. So this book should be on every pastor's desk, and if he doesn't have it, or she doesn't have it, or a minister, or somebody who's an influence person, who influences others, it's your job to get him a copy of this book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Talk to them about the book. Either buy them and give them a copy of the book, or get the book in the hands of the people that need to read it, the people that God is developing to be people that change the world. The only way they can succeed on their mission is if they are to perceive their mission as mission accomplished. And this book opens up the reality of this greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. It opens up the reality of this spiritual war on a level that I've never read before. And it's not for the purpose of boasting. I prayed and sought the Lord and prayed and sought the Lord and prayed and sought the Lord and asked him over and over again. In my prayers, I would say stuff like this to the Lord. I would say, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, let me not just go on autopilot and write just some dumb book. I said, Lord, keep me plugged into the wall socket of your power, and keep downloading into me through your Holy Spirit, through your word, through wisdom, through knowledge from you. Lord, let me download all this stuff that you're pouring into me so that you can supernaturally equip me to equip your people to be victorious in battle. And I really meant that, and I mean it now. It is not enough to me, it has never been enough to simply go through the charade of playing Christian soldiers or entering a spiritual battle. That's not enough for me. Okay, I feel that if I was to do that, that would be a counterfeit victory. It would be a fraudulent victory. You and I see so many Christians who are the great pretenders. They're going around pretending they're effective spiritual warriors, effective evangelists, effective influencers of people. They're pretending that, but the reality is, and upon closer examination, they are not accomplishing successfully those goals. And so I wrote this book, 2 years in this studio, plus this is culmination of 40 years of research, experience, meeting very, very high-level people that God opened doors by his grace in the fact that I met high-level people with access to knowledge and power and all kinds of stuff that the normal person doesn't have access to. God gave me access to them. And that opened up a world of understanding. And in this book, which is about 400 and whatever, 400, no, yeah, but a little under 400 pages, I expose so many secrets, so much brainwashing, so much indoctrination that has been pumped into the hearts and minds of young people, primarily via our educational system, primarily via our media, our episodic TV and video games, social media, and other forms of knowledge input. The problem is that all that knowledge input that is being pumped into people, because our school systems have largely become propaganda centers, indoctrination centers, brainwashing centers, and they have very little to do with true education, true development, true knowledge, and true power. So, here in this studio, where every day, or just about every day, I the Paul McGuire Report goes out all over the world, or often I'll do more than one edition of the Paul McGuire Report, or I'll often do the Paul McGuire Report, and I'll do our video program, which is televised, and our video program is called A Prophetic Emergency Alert with Paul McGuire. Now, our video program, our audio program, goes all across the world in all kinds of social media platforms, all kinds of internet platforms, television, radio, and because it goes around all around the world, and it is on unique social media platforms that attract all kinds of people, not just Christians. Okay, from all over the world. They're riveted because many of them live in nations where they don't have the opportunity to hear the kind of stuff we hear in America. So, this book is the result of 40 years of research and personal experience where the Lord allowed me to do things. The Lord allowed me to know people, to be with people. The Lord allowed me to acquire knowledge and expertise on a very high level by putting me in the same inner circle of people who would later on become some of the most important movers and shakers on planet Earth. And there's a whole lot more to that. So, I'm in the studio doing my work. I have research right now. If you were to be with me in the radio studio, you would see all kinds of technological equipment, all kinds of flat screens, etc., large, small, many different kinds of microphones, different kinds of cameras, professional studio lighting, all kinds of stuff. And what I do, before researching a show or researching this program or whatever, putting together a message on Bible prophecy to give out at Paradise Mountain Church, whatever I'm doing, I make individual stacks that contain essentially a similar category of knowledge and learning. So it's not in its worst state at the moment, but many times sitting in this chair in the studio with computers in front of me and microphones in front of me, all kinds of stuff, bookshelf, which has basically most of the 34 books I've written, I put in the studio a bookshelf. And then I will put stacks of research on 8.5, 11 papers in a stack that would be 2,000, 4,000 pages high. Each one of them could be a book. So, for example, when I was researching the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, when I first began, it was 4,000 pages of documented information. It was high voltage information, but it was too long. And so I decided that I needed to make it mean and lean and sculpt it down to the most powerful, important points, which I did. I took the 4,000 pages, and if any of you are writers or would-be writers, all of us who are writers or would-be writers, we suffer, most of us, that would include, suffer from a common sin. And that is, and I'm guilty of this, writers like other creative people, we, in a narcissistic manner, we fall in love with our words because that our words are our craft. We train ourselves to work with words, to communicate with words. So to us, words, sentences, stuff like that is an art form. So we polish our craft just like a musician polishes his or her craft by performing. And so we polish our craft and we teach ourselves to deliver powerful arguments, strong arguments that are really interesting, that are intense, that will set people free by the power of the Holy Spirit and not get in the way of move the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, by His grace, uses these books, uses these programs, the video program, the audio program, conferences, and they end up going around. People end up passing these books and circulating all over planet Earth. And very, very large numbers of people end up reading, devouring books, which makes them, gives them power and knowledge to be proactive in spiritual battles. And that's essential. Okay. So in my studio here, we have stacks of paper. And then eventually, it's hard to do this, I will throw away all the paper and chapters that are either redundant, repetitive, or not really necessary. So you've got to stop falling in love with your writing words, and you've got to make the cold, spirit-guided decisions to cut off stuff that's not essential. And then, so the book by then turns into be like a 374-page book. And it's power-packed. It's power-packed. So, we are, right now, in human history, in the most critical time period in history, not just because Paul McGuire said it or other people said it, we're in the most critical period of human history, what I call the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, because there is such a awesome global convergence of so many divergent and destructive factors. And these factors would include things like people's philosophies, people's belief systems, people's politics, people's spirituality, it's all embedding itself in the human race and causing people to act upon it. So, our nation has been radically changed during the last 50 years because our nation is essentially thrown away and rejected, for the most part, Judeo-Christian thought, a biblical worldview, because our nation has embraced the mythology of Darwinian evolution and rejected the theology that every man and woman was created by a creator God for a special purpose and destiny. Now, right there, what you believe about the birth of man, your birth, is all important. If you think you got here by irrational accident, twisted logic, stuff like that, you've missed the boat. You got here by the will and desire and plan of God. As the word says, for God knew you before the foundation of the world, called you to be here for such a time as this. So God knew you before you, mother and father were intimate and produced the baby, you. And you were born, but God knew who your mother and father would be before they conceived you and before you were born. And God called you or assigned you to be here for such a time as this. You're on a special assignment, like the special forces, to be here for such a time as this. And what does that mean? God has given you a specific mission possible that he wants you to victoriously accomplish for his kingdom purposes. And that plays a pivotal role in this great spiritual battle we're in, which I call the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Because you see, that's where we are now. So every film, every music production, every television production, episodic TV, churches, sermons, books, any medium of communication whatsoever is a contributing factor to this greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And what the war is that's raging the hearts and minds of people all over the USA and all over the world is people are hearing essentially two kinds of voices. They're hearing voices and imaginations and pictures and ideas that say there is no biblical God, there is no personal God, there is no infinite personal living God of the universe. All of that is not true. It's false. And then millions of people are gravitating towards accepting this, that God created every man and woman in his own image. God has a unique plan for every man and woman. And God communicates to men and women all over planet Earth. God communicates to mankind by speaking the truth to them, because truth is power, knowledge is power. And so when God's people or people receive the truth via communication, when they receive the truth, that truth functions as intellectual and spiritual power. And that truth shatters the forces of illusion, the forces of witchcraft and sorcery, Luciferian forces, and it shatters all the false narratives, all the mythologies, all the illusions, shatters them. Now, when that happens, when all the illusions, when all the mythologies are shattered, the result is that a massive spiritual war is won and hundreds of millions of captives are set free in this spiritual war. They're set free because they're no longer believing a set of lies or propaganda or brainwashing. They're receiving the truth, and it's setting them free in unprecedented numbers. So that's what's happening on planet Earth, and that's why I wrote The Greatest Battle. When I was a young boy, I didn't have options. I was raised in an atheistic household. My parents were intellectuals and readers and artists, and we were middle class, but the people that came in and out of our house, some of them moved on, went on to be movers and shakers. Some were financial, very, very high up in the financial world. They were artists, painters, poets, writers, thinkers, intellectuals, and almost all of them. In fact, all of them were people that were secular humanists and believed in Darwinian evolution and hated Christianity. And in fact, these people, including my mother and father, taught me to believe that Christianity was evil, and that in our family, we believed in atheism. So I was raised and taught to believe in atheism and secular humanism, etc. So, and many of you were raised to believe a certain set of beliefs. So what happened was, I was a child, still very young in the 60s. And 70s, as a young child and teenager, I became part of the counterculture that was designed to transform planet Earth. And all these so-called truths, all these so-called belief systems were accepted as the gospel in school and media, et cetera, et cetera. And God allowed me to see into the eyes of millions of people who were not saved and millions of people that were saved. Not all in one place or something like that. It was like God allowed me to see into millions of eyes of the saved and the unsaved. It was kind of like a supernatural experience. Okay, that's important to add. It was like a supernatural experience. Like I walked away from this with a knowing that massive numbers of God's people on earth could not see. They did not have vision. And us, as such, people without vision perish. Without vision, the people perish. And then God's people that believe the truth receive knowledge, receive power, receive victory. So this is the critical nature of the spiritual battlefield. And it's critical today. So in the 60s, we had essentially the eruption of the counterculture, which I was part of, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was raised in an atheistic household, radical humanists, and I became one of these rebels, but not a stupid rebel. And by that I mean that, yes, I experimented scientifically with an honor student who acquired mescaline, the psychedelic drug, because his father was a medical doctor. And the reason I wanted to experiment with the psychedelic drug mescaline was that one of my childhood heroes, remember, I read 25 to 30 books a month in science and science fiction, scientific biographies, and many other areas. Constantly reading, constantly increasing my knowledge because I wanted to be a nuclear physicist or a scientist. And so I began to read the biographies of all these great scientists. Many of them were either humanists or atheists, like my parents were. Almost none of them call themselves Christians. And I learned a lot of things from reading the biographies of all the great lives of scientists. And I learned that it is essential in the scientific method, which is called, they use a process called empirical evidence, which means that in order for you to say that whatever your scientific theory is, in order for you to claim that it's true, that it's a fact, you must supply the empirical or objective evidence that what you are asserting is indeed true and provable by the evidence. That whole thing is called the scientific method. And so the whole thing with Darwinian evolution, it's not one person's opinion versus another. It's simply this. Where is the genetic evidence? Where is the DNA which proves, via the scientific method, which proves that mankind was created by an infinite personal living God of the universe, and that man was not created by random evolutionary chance, where a rock became a tadpole, which became a chimpanzee, which became man. That's not how man originated. That's not how man came into existence. So this first fundamental truth regarding the identity of men and women, you must have the right knowledge of that in order to have power. I meet an endless number of Christians who come from homes that are anti-intellectual. They don't read, they don't think, and they are ripe for the taking, because all somebody has to do is attack them and falsely claim that scientific evidence proves Darwinian evolution is true. And they end up losing their argument. Where the reality of the matter is that the scientific method developed in England among English scientists, you have a thesis, you have a theory or whatever it may be scientifically, and then you have to prove that your scientific theory is true by discovering evidence, by conducting scientific experimentation, and prove that your thesis or your idea and theory is true by the scientific empirical evidence. And that's why even somebody like myself, long before I became a Christian, I had serious doubts as to the truthfulness of the theory of evolution, because the theory of evolution was all based on opinion. They had no scientific proof to prove its truthfulness. It was just based on this mythology that Darwin said mankind randomly evolved over 200 million years, and then eventually, through empirical evidence and genetic evidence and DNA, we could see man move from one species to a much higher level species. But the fact of the matter is, none of that happened. There is no scientific proof that proves evolutionary theory. It's just a theory. It's just conjecture. So, you see, when you acquire knowledge like this, whether it's the classroom, whether it's a corporate office, whether it's driving trucks, whether it's in some kind of business world, when people know that you're a force to be contended with, when people know that you're a person that has done his or her homework on any given subject, so that whenever you say something, or whenever you raise an argument, or whether you're promoting some idea, already what has gone before you is evidence of the fact that you are a person who studies, who researches, who gets to the facts. So when you speak up and talk, you're always doing it based on scientific evidence and facts. And therefore, when you speak, It gives you an authority. It gives you a power. It gives you the ability to transform a nation or a world or whatever, because you're not just a lot of hot air. You're a person who actually bothered to get scientific evidence to prove what they believe. Okay, I want to take a brief break, but before I do, I want to throw out this important truth. A truth which you need to be proactive on, a truth which would fit into the category of what science fiction theorists call predictive programming. So let me spell it out to you as clear as I can. I've said in no uncertain terms with this book what you need to get. Why do you need to get it? Because every chapter is powerfully written. It's either based on the Bible or scientific evidence or psychological evidence, and it will change your world, the world of anyone who reads it, and it will tell you what's going to happen in America now, what's going to happen in America next, and what's going to happen in the near future. And there's so many powerful chapters that explain all kinds of things that you need to read and understand. Okay? Critical. For example, I explain in my book, The Greatest Battle, exactly why there's an explosion of growth and interest in witchcraft, Wicca, and the occult, and why simultaneously there's an explosive degrading, deterioration, shrinking, and numerical lack of interest in the amount of people that are pursuing and investigating and checking out Christianity. How could that possibly be? How could, in our world, with all the problems and suffering we have, how could we have an explosion of numerical interest, a huge quantum growth in the number of people that want to become witches, Wiccans, and practice witchcraft? Okay? Well, we can kind of figure that out. People want answers. People want power. People do not want religion. They never have. People don't want religion. People want answers. People want the supernatural power and ability to change their world. They want a spiritual system that produces results. Okay? Very important. That's why there's this massive resurgence in witchcraft. That's why in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I devote a whole bunch of chapters to witchcraft, to Wicca, to the occult, so that the reader can have their eyes opened and they can see the truth of what's happening. So chapter 6 of my book, The Greatest Battle, is called Witchcraft Evangelism. And that's exactly what's going on. People that are involved in witchcraft are evangelizing like crazy. They're winning disciples to Lucifer or Satan like crazy. That's why I called my chapter Witchcraft Evangelism. Now, the other tied for equal first place religion is atheism. I was raised as an atheist. And atheism is simply the religion of having no religion at all. So although this is a complete paradox, witchcraft is the fastest growing religion in America, and atheism is the fastest. The other tied for witchcraft is the fastest growing religion in America. Very interesting. It tells a lot. Notice that evangelical born-again Christianity doesn't even show up on any list anywhere as a potential contender for the fastest growing religion in America. Why is that? As I explain in my book, and I don't pull any punches, people want to practice a religion that has supernatural power, where you can change your reality supernaturally, get wisdom supernaturally. You don't have to be a perpetual victim. And people are looking for a religion or a spirituality that is supernatural, that's intellectual, and more than anything, it's not a lot of blah, 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 blah. It produces results. So witchcraft, whether it's correct or not, has a reputation for producing results. So in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I have a whole bunch of chapters on witchcraft, starting with chapter 6, Witchcraft Evangelism. And I'm just going to read you some selected sentences out of my new book. And then you need to get it at paulmcguire.us. And you need to get that book along with Conquering the Matrix, along with Mass Awakening, along with Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. So let me read from The Greatest Battle. After several decades, the Evangelical Church has boasted about all the successful youth evangelism programs, national and global evangelism projects, which were supposedly winning millions of younger generations to Jesus Christ. According to respected polls, 8 out of 10 young adults raised in evangelical Christian homes and who attended church walk away from their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they enter college, or at a minimum 2 years after having entered college. This is a blatant reality check for anyone who is paying attention. It is a blatant reality check, because it's telling you that the vast majority of the so-called youth, young adult, biblical Christian development programs, not all of them, but many of them are completely worthless and produce no results at all. But it's not how it's supposed to be. Not how it's supposed to be whatsoever. Okay. So we read from my book, the fastest growing religion in America and among young people and adults is Wicca or witchcraft. And it goes back. Well, it goes back to the Chaldeans in the ancient land of. In the ancient land of some of the Hebrew patriarchs, they lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, and one of the prominent features of that empire was it was rooted in witchcraft. Then, in 1954, according to my book, a male witch named Gerald Gardner began writing books and promoting modern witchcraft, which took off in England and in the United States. And so we see everywhere, if you know how to look at the symbols, at the music, at the words, at the name of the gods, if you know how to look at and recognize all the symbolic stuff that's out there, you will see what you will see, and it'll be a real eye-opener to you. You will see the fact that witchcraft, occult, satanic, pagan, and Wiccan symbols and colors and music and practices are everywhere in our society, especially among filmmakers and movies and music and culture and stuff. Satanic symbols are everywhere, which, by the way, represents the spiritual battle for America. Okay? Because once upon a time in America, there were no witchcraft symbols or occultic symbols or occultic or witchcraft music. It was all essentially basically Christian. Biblical Christian. Now, what other movement moves hand in hand with witchcraft, Wicca, and all that stuff. And this is something I've been writing about for 40 years in my books and talks and stuff. And I write about this connection between witchcraft, but I write about the supernatural connection between the world's great cultists, like the head of the Rosicrucian movement, Sir Francis Bacon, who was the key spiritual advisor to the Queen of England. And it was Sir Francis Bacon who was the inventor of modern science and the modern scientific method. Yet he was also one of the world's most powerful occultists. So Sir Francis, as I write in my book, Sir Francis Bacon, who was the spiritual advisor to the Queen of England, believed that part of America's secret occult destiny was to be the new Atlantis and head of a new world order. Bacon hired ships to infiltrate America with powerful and influential members of occult secret societies that originated in ancient Babylon. Sir Francis Bacon anticipated America's destiny in the future, how powerfully it would impact the world and usher the world into a new golden age based on occult teachings. The biblical version for America that God gave the pilgrims and Puritans is about to enter an unprecedented spiritual battle with the occult vision for America given to Sir Francis Bacon and the secret occult societies, which function as a shadow government for America. You know, this is very intense stuff, but what's more important about it than it's intense is the fact that it's true. So, there are basically two kinds of people flowing or walking in two kinds of directions on planet Earth. There are those that are flowing and walking in the direction of God and God's word. There's those that are flowing and walking in the direction of Satan and a rebellion from God's word. That's just the way it is. So, America, even non-Christians understand this to a degree. Native American Indians understand this. People in all kinds of religions, Islam and stuff, understand this. And what they understand is that deep in their gut, they understand that America has a unique occult destiny. And that America has a unique destiny. Now we know America has both destinies because when we look at both destinies that were seeded and were birthed at the beginning of America, we see one is an occult destiny and the other is a godly biblical destiny. Two different destinies. And you and I and every person gets to choose what pathway we're going to walk on. But the key is that we have to really gain knowledge, which gives us the power to make these right decisions. So I want to read you something. Most Christians don't know this, and that's why they're losing in the spiritual battle. Most conservatives have no clue about what I'm talking about, and that's why they, too, are losing the spiritual battle. On page 52 of my book, The Greatest Battle, where it says, Hidden Agenda, Promotion of Witchcraft as a Mechanism to Destroy Christianity. That's the real purpose of witchcraft, is to use it as a mechanism to destroy Christianity. I'll read what I said. The purpose of this chapter is not to promote the false narrative that the majority of people who are exploring Wicca, witchcraft, and New Age religions are specifically attempting to destroy Christianity. However, it is this author's contention that at the very top of the chain of command in Wicca, witchcraft, and the New Age, there exists a Luciferian or occult elite. The occult elite are acting in concert with the globalist financial elite and are sometimes the same person or group who do have a hidden agenda to destroy Christianity. Wicca enjoyed revival in England through the father of Wicca, Gerald Gardner. This movement was called the Craft of the Wise, or witchcraft. The word Wicca was used as a synonym for witchcraft. Okay, so what's the appeal of witchcraft in the occult? There's an appeal to it. There's like a magnetic force that attracts young people and young adults. Well, I write what the appeal of witchcraft is on page 53 of my book, The Greatest Battle. And this chapter is entitled, The Appeal of Wicca and Witchcraft, Changing Your Reality Through Your Will. So the big promise of Wicca or witchcraft is it promises to give you the supernatural power where you can change your external reality. You can transform your world through your willpower. In other words, by willing it into existence, you can transform your exterior world. That, by the way, the Bible offers you the same promise. God offered that promise to Adam and Eve. So this isn't something unique to witchcraft. They're lying. But sadly, there are too many Christians who forget that true biblical Christianity gives the believer an enormous amount of authority and power by which he or she can transform their worlds. It's not an impotent religion. The primary attractions of young people and adults to witchcraft is that it promises people the supernatural power to control and transform their lives without the constraints of many traditional moral values or restrictions. It offers a hip community of fellow believers that the media and entertainment industry brand as with it cult religion. Also, it does not bring all the baggage with all kinds of rules, culture, and religious practices that evangelical Christians and their religious groups do. Okay? Finally, witchcraft and other occult religions celebrate all creative arts, which enables them to build a vibrant, creative, and highly energized community that shares their sense of adventure. I'm going to read you one other thing. Well, I won't read the whole. I'll just read the tip of it. In my book, The Greatest Battle, this chapter begins with these words, Wicca, witchcraft, Willis Harmon, and the Aquarian Conspiracy. I want you to remember the name of Willis Harmon. I knew of his name when I was in college at the University of Missouri, and I had a dual major, filmmaking. And my other major within the field of psychology was altered state of consciousness. In that field, in my personal research, I discovered who Willis Harmon was. And Willis Harmon was a very powerful individual in the New Age movement going back to the 1960s. He was one of the prominent leaders in the occult movement. He was a mover and shaker of the Stanford Research Institute, who allegedly worked with the CIA and mind control organization with LSD. Harmon was the man who was the driving force behind the book, The Changing Images of Man, who talked about how to change America from a Western Judeo-Christian culture into a tribalistic Eastern mystical culture. Harmon mentioned Marilyn Ferguson's best-selling book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, which aggressively promoted the New Age agenda of Willis Harmon in 1980. Then it says in my book, Willis Harmon was responsible at the Stanford Research Institute for promoting Eastern mysticism, science, technology, who wrote The Changing Images of Man in 1974, which was based on Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And the great, and then I write these words, quote, "The great secret was that the counterculture was never a spontaneous uprising. It was a highly strategic conspiracy which was created by the elite as a method of social control designed to turn America from being a scientific and technological culture into a mystical and tribal culture. The British elite, like Aldous Huxley, used the historical precedent of the counterculture they created in the United States in the same way pagan cult ceremonies took over the decadent Egyptian and Roman empires. Egyptians and Roman empires take us back to the rites of the Isis priesthood of the third millennium, where drugs, trance-like dances, the beating of drums, hypnotic rhythms, and the use of psychedelic drugs summoned the visitation of the gods or the demonic realm. The counterculture peace symbol was the exact same symbol as the ancient Isis cross." Just the tip of the iceberg of what I get into here. And the point is, knowledge is power. So you're in a competition. And basically, when you get down to the bottom line, the competition you're in is called a war. It's a war between Satan, the fallen angels, and witchcraft versus the Bible, biblical Christians, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. And this battle is taking place in every family, every college campus, on TV, in social media, everywhere you want to go. This battle is in the echo chambers of human consciousness. So what we have to do, we have to understand that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we have to use all of the spiritual weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Now, what I suggest for you, because see, I'm into playing hardball, which means I'm in it to win, not for carnal reasons. But if I'm called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, which I am, you are too, then that calling must be, I'm being called to win the various spiritual battles that God calls me into, and I'm called to win or be victorious over the battles we have with witchcraft, Satanism, and things like that. I think that's pretty simple to understand. So, do understand. So what is really going on here on planet Earth? Now, I have tons of free articles, free pictures, free videos, free just tons of free communication. Go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. But this is what I want to challenge you with. It is very, very difficult for the average person. That includes you. That includes me. It is extremely difficult for any of us as individuals. It's just in our DNA. It's extremely difficult for any of us as individuals to reverse the things that become our dominant beliefs and be willing to transform our dominant beliefs according to the truth, and then specifically according to biblical truth. See, it's very hard for any man or woman to do a reversal. Once you engraft your mind, your beliefs, and your philosophy, you know, those are strongholds. These are your core beliefs, whether it's witchcraft or whatever. And so once you lock yourself into a set of beliefs, what the Bible calls a stronghold emerges. A stronghold is a series of intellectual arguments satanically energized. And so, one of the primary ideas that lingers over the heads of men, women, all over planet Earth is this, and we are all affected by it to varying degrees. To varying degrees, every single one of us maintains a certain amount of suspicion, doubt, questioning, and disbelief regarding whether or not it is really true reality that there exists about 12 men and women who are part of an occult elite, and it is only that 12 to 13 men and women who have been given the power by Satan to rule the world. Another spinoff would be of that is that the truth of the matter is the way our world is created, there exists an elite 1% that controls all the wealth, controls all the power, and rules the world, and also has made some kind of pact with Satan. Okay, these are all truths. I document them in my books, like Conquering the Matrix and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. I document all this and Mass Awakening. So, once you accumulate, study, and learn a sufficient body of knowledge, which you know is true because you have studied the documentation, then the possibility exists for you to change your opinion, to change your basic philosophy, and now you find yourself in the position where you no longer are rejecting the truth of the rulership of planet Earth by a 1% occult elite. You're no longer rejecting that. You are now cautiously accepting that based on science, based on documentation, and based on historical proof. But you see, this is such a mind-changing, mind-bending paradigm shift for most people to undergo. Most people are scared of this encounter. Most people run from this encounter. Most people avoid this kind of date with destiny. They do. They're frightened of it because it cuts to the core of their being. So the only way you and I can ultimately be liberated on every level in life, the only way that you and I can be set free on every level of life is for us to gain knowledge, because knowledge is power. Study, to get documentation, to think for ourselves, to use our logic and reasoning ability, and to really pursue wisdom, knowledge, and guidance. When we do that, we give ourselves the intellectual ammunition to change and completely transform our personal philosophy, our personal worldview, because now we have a fresh set of documentation which actually proves what we believe in. It's not just mental assent. We have proof that this assessment of reality is really true. That's the challenge before us, because I say with the title of my book, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. It's happening now, this great battle. The way we win it is by self-education, by acquiring knowledge, which is power. Then we move forward. But on top of that, you and I, who have done our homework, who have truly prepared for the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the world, you and I who have prepared ourselves, then you and I can step into the arena and overcome the powers of darkness, the devil, the fallen angels, and all the people that are in deep deception. So essentially, we have to turn around 180 degrees and literally go after those believers of lies and believers of illusion. We need to go after that with documented proof and then be strong in our belief system. Because you see, when people notice that we have done our homework, when people notice that we have studied and documented our research, then the spiritual battle is much easier. Then not everything is a huge life or death spiritual battle. Why? Because there is a confidence that exudes from the human soul when a person is prepared, when a person is educated, when a person has documented truth that they've gained. When a person has done all those things, what happens is they become energized as people. They become empowered as people. And when they talk, people listen to them as they would listen to a person of authority. They don't have to fight for space because the reality that they're a person of authority is self-evident in their casual conversation. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Spread this message far and wide. And remember, in the battle for the hearts and minds of mankind, the history of the world, we have got to continue to press forward and communicate truth through every technology that's possible. I need your help in doing that through your prayers, spreading information far and wide, and be willing to ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, how much do you want to donate or make in terms of a financial contribution? Just visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.